بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. This topic concerns the Sunnah and the people on the Sunnah, known as Ahlus Sunnah, or the people on the path of the Salaf. The decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concerning His creation is very clear. He sent the messengers with glad tidings and warnings, so that mankind don't have a plea against Allah after sending the messengers. And He decreed that whoever obeys the messengers will enter paradise and would protect himself from the punishment of Allah. And those who disobey the messengers, then they deserve the admittance to the fire of hell. The last of these messengers is Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the best of them all. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala entrusted him with the best of books and made his obedience the means of deliverance, and his disobedience as a way of humiliation. And Allah did not seize him until he subhanahu wa ta'ala made the deen prevailing and he, the Most High, cautioned the believers not to dispute in deen. This came clear in the command in chapter 3, verse 105 to 107. قال الله تعالى ولا تكونوا كالذين تفرقوا واختلفوا من بعد ما جاءهم البينات وأولئك لهم عذاب عظيم يوم تبيض وجوه وتسود وجوه فأما الذين اسودت وجوههم أكفرتم بعد إيمانكم فذوقوا العذاب بما كنتم تكفرون وأما الذين ابيضت وجوههم ففي رحمة الله هم فيها خالدون. And be not as those who divided and differed among themselves after the clear proof had come to them. It is they for whom there is an awful torment on the day of resurrection, when some faces will become white and some faces will become black. As for those whose faces will become black, to them it will be said, did you reject faith after accepting it? Then taste the torment in hell for rejecting faith. And for those whose faces will become white, they will be in Allah's mercy paradise. Therein they shall dwell forever. This is the legal command. This is the legal command from Allah, not to dispute and not to split. However, the pre-decree of Allah, the universal will, tells us that this is inevitable to occur. And this is exemplified in the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, when he said that the Jews and the Christians divided into 71 or 72 sects, and this Ummah will divide into 73 sects. All of them are in hell except one. So in the legal command, Allah commands that the believers should not dispute and split. And this legal command is beloved to Allah, but not everyone will comply. Like all the ordinances of Allah, all the legal commands of Allah. They are beloved to Allah, but they are not necessarily to be complied with. As to the pre-decree of Allah, it's inevitable to occur. All as necessitated by His wisdom. And this is exactly what took place. After the Prophet ﷺ died, the dispute occurred. And it developed until sects emerged. Sects that disputed in the matters that are foundations in deen. And many of the people followed shaitan and their desires and false ways and abandoned the guidance of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Despite all of this, the wisdom of Allah, the Most High, entailed that the truth shall continue to exist, and that one group from this ummah will continue to hold to the correct original way, taking from the Quran and from the Sunnah in the correct way, and deducting from them all that is needed for this life. And therefore this group deserves the best of names, and the famous, most famous of that is they were called Ahlus Sunnah or Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, because they held to the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they were the Jama'ah, the group holding to the rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who are keen about keeping away from lowly desires. And that's why we see that when most of the righteous predecessors, when they authored their books and or their treaties concerning the creed of the righteous predecessors in matters that are foundations to the deen, they called their books or their treaties, they called them, they gave them the title As-Sunnah, like As-Sunnah by Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal. And the book of Sunnah by Al-Khalal. And the book of Sunnah by Ibn Abi Asim. And As-Sunnah by Allal al-Kai and others. And from their names is the name known as the Saved Sect. And it is the one which is mentioned in the hadith which I related to you earlier, when the Prophet ﷺ said, إِنَّ مَنْ كَانَ قَبْلَكُمْ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ, those before you from the people of the book, divided on 72 nations. And that my ummah will divide into 73, all of them in hellfire except one. It was said, من هي يا رسول الله? Which one is this? قال من كان على مثل ما أنا عليه اليوم وأصحابي, those who will be which I and my companion are upon. And in another narration it is the jama'ah. And in fact, the religion, the deen, was on a single jama'ah up to the time of the Khilafah of Umar, and also in the time of Uthman, when he was killed, schism and innovations appeared. People split into parties and sects. And among the people were some who remained firm upon the truth. And when the affairs worsened, they spoke the truth, acted upon it, and called people to it. And the affairs remained in order until the fourth generation in the Khilafah. And when times changed and people deteriorated greatly, innovations became widespread, and there arose many callers inviting away from the way of truth and from the way of the Jama'ah. People were tried with things which neither the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam nor any of his companions spoke about. People called to sectarianism, where the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam had forbidden sectarianism. Each group declared the others to be unbelievers. Everyone called to his own opinion and declared those who differed with them to be unbelievers. The ignorant, the common folk, and those without knowledge went astray. They caused the people to be greedy for things of this world and to fear worldly punishment. So people followed them out of fear for their worldly affairs and out of desire for this world. Innovations appeared and became widespread. They used analogical reasoning and considered the power of the Lord, His signs, rulings, commands, and prohibitions according to their intellect and opinions. Whatever accorded with their intellect, they accepted, and whatever didn't agree with their intellect, they rejected. However, this group remained on the truth, yet they were strangers, because Islam became a stranger, the Sunnah a stranger, and the people of Sunnah strangers within their own homes. They are the saved sect, and they are the triumphant group, even if they are few in number. The Prophet ﷺ described them as saying, لَا تَزَالُ طَائِفَةٌ مِّنْ أُمَّتِي ظَاهِرِينَ عَلَى الْحَقِّ. A group of my ummah will continue to stay on the truth. لَا يَضُرُّهُمْ مَنْ خَذَلَهُمْ حَتَّى يَأْتِيَ أَمْرُ اللَّهِ وَهُمْ عَلَى ذَلِكَ. They are not going to be harmed by those who betray them until the command of Allah will come while they are on that. This saved and victorious sect has characteristics distinguishing it from all the other deviations, all the deviations. And every Muslim should know this. Not just for mere knowledge, but to belong to be part of it. And from these characteristics, number one, they give precedence to the textual proofs over the intellectual analogies. They take the Quran and the Sunnah textual proofs as the basis for, as the sources, as well as the reference for deduction. So the correct creeds, they take them from the Quran and from the authentic Sunnah. As to the intellect and as to the natural inclination, this follows the book and the Sunnah, standing to testify for the truthfulness of these sources, not opposing them in any way. And if there is any kind of opposition between a textual proof or between a legal text and between what the intellect may entail, then either the text may be not affirmed, meaning in the case of the Sunnah. Or if the text is affirmed, then the way of Ahlul Sunnah is that they accuse the intellect and they don't accuse the text, as long as it is affirmed that it is from the truthful and the believed Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they are on the great fundamental understanding that صحيح المنقول لا يعارض صريح المعقول أبدا, that the related texts, the authentically related text, is not in any way opposing the explicitly sound deduction. And in this way, they are distinguished from the way of the innovators who give precedence to the intellect over the text. And there you find them, either they reject the textual proof when they see that it stands in opposition to their intellectual deduction and their desires, or they resort to what they call ta'wil of the text, distorting the meaning of the text under so-called interpretations that oppose the reality of the text, most often through figurative interpretations, in particular to the names and attributes of Allah, and they make the intellect as a judge over the textual proofs. And this is a very dangerous innovation, which led some and many amongst these deviant sects to exit Islam totally. Second, Ahlul Sunnah are medium in all affairs between the misguided from the people of negligence and the people of excessiveness and exaggeration. For example, in the matters pertaining to the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are on medium course between the negators, those who negate the names and attributes of Allah totally, or those who affirm some and negate others, or those who affirm, however, negate the meanings, or go through false ta'wil, distortion, taking the text away from their realities and their true meanings, fitting them. And also they are a way distinct from the people of tashbih, those who resemble or liken Allah to His creation, those who affirm the attributes and the names of Allah, however they resemble them to those of the creation, making the Creator and the created the same. And thus they were so close to the Jews, who resembled the Creator to the created and attributed the attributes of deficiency to Allah. As to Ahlul Sunnah, they affirmed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala everything about Himself that came in the Quran and the authentic Sunnah, and they affirmed also all the meanings fitting these names and attributes, also with magnification and declaring Allah high above every imperfection, not like the creatures, also without any kind of indulgement in the how or the manner of these attributes. Rather, they assigned the how of that to Allah, the Most High. And their guide to this is the great verse in the Noble Quran, in Surah Ash-Shura, chapter 42, verse 11. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ Nothing is like unto him. وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ And he is the all-hearer, the all-seer. The beginning of this verse negates resemblance or likeness to anything. And the second part of the verse, وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ And he is the all-hearer, all-knower, affirms the realities of the names and attributes, that they are true and real and have meanings. This is concerning the names and attributes. Concerning the pre-decree, they are medium course between two extremes, between the extreme of Al-Qadariyya. They are the ones who deny the pre-decree of Allah. They deny Al-Qadr. Those who say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not know of the particular and detailed matters, and that he does not create the actions of the slaves, and that he does not know of them until they occur, and that man is the creator of his own action. These are Al-Qadariyya, the deniers of Allah's pre-decree. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam foretold the appearance of this sect when he said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Qadariyya are the Magians of this ummah. The Qadariyya are the Magians of this ummah. If they fall ill, don't visit them. And if they die, then don't attend their funeral. And this is reported by Ibn Dawood. And Shaykh al-Albani declares this hadith to be good. And concerning a person's actions, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاللَّهُ خَلَقَكُمْ وَمَا تَعْمَلُونَ Allah created you and your actions. Allah alone is the creator of everything, including man's actions. However, Allah gave man a limited free will to choose between good and evil. Furthermore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent his messengers to call to goodness and to that which leads to paradise, and to warn against evil and that which leads to hellfire. So man earns and is fully responsible for his own actions. In fact, Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah wrote a book entitled Khalq Af'al al-Ibad, The Actions of the Servants Are Created, on this subject only. This is the first extreme. And they are also medium between this extreme and the other one, known as Al-Jabriya sect. Al-Jabriya. Those who claim that man has no free will, and as man is like a feather in a wind, and that he is compelled to do the evil, and he has no choice in that. However, Ahlus Sunnah are on a medium course. They affirm to the slave a will and a choice. However, this will and choice is created under the greater will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the perfect one. So nothing occurs except by the leave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they also affirm that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator of the actions of the slaves, the good and the bad, due to his wisdom that he had chosen subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, he, Allah, loves the good and accepts it and commands it, and he hates the evil and rejects it and does not command it legally. This is concerning the matter of the pre-decree. They are medium between these two extremes. and they are also medium concerning the matter of faith, between also extremes, between the Khawarij, the dissidents who take out from Islam the Muslims who commit major sins, and even the sinner, they take him from Iman, from faith, take him out, and they claim that he is going to be punished in hell forever. This is the first extreme. And the second extreme is the Murji'ah. Who say or claim that sins, major or minor, do not affect Iman, do not affect at all the state of Iman, of faith, and that Iman, faith, neither increases nor decreases. And some of them say that al-Iman, faith, is merely the utterance by the tongue. And the extreme of them say that al-Iman, faith, is only recognition of Allah without even attestation. Ahlul Sunnah. Are between these two extremes. With Ahlul Sunnah, the faith is attestation of the heart and utterance on the tongue and actions on the body parts, increases with obedience and decreases with disobedience. And to the sinner, the one who commits the major sin, he is a wrongdoer, a sinner, not complete with his Iman. His Iman is not complete, yet he is a Muslim. As long as he does not consider the disobedience permissible or the sin permissible, meaning he does not go for istihlal, making the unlawful or the sin lawful. And as to his affair in the hereafter, it is left to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If he wills to punish him or to forgive him and pardon him, this is left to Allah. This is concerning Ahlul Sunnah between these two extremes. And concerning the position of Ahlul Sunnah with respect to the companions, as-sahaba, they are wasat, medium, between those who exceeded the limits in exaggerating the ranks of some of the companions, may Allah be pleased with all of them, until they elevated some of them to the divinity levels and to lordship levels, as the rejectionists of the Shia had done with Ali bin Abi Talib. And between the other, and also they are medium when compared to the other extreme, who belittled the status and the station of some of the companions. Ahlul Sunnah knew well the rank and status of the companions, and they respected them and loved them and gave them allegiance. However, also they didn't exaggerate in any one of them, and they didn't lift any one of them to levels higher than that which they deserve, the one they deserve, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put them on. Also concerning the karamat of the awliya, the unusual events which Allah manifests through some of His righteous for supporting a mundane or a spiritual matter. They are also in a medium course. These are called karamat. Al-awliya are the righteous persons close to Allah. And the karama, which is the unusual event which Allah manifests through some of the righteous for supporting a mundane or a spiritual matter, they also take a position which is medium between two extremes. Between those who denied this totally and negated it, and between those who exaggerated in them and exaggerated concerning the status of the righteous until they raised some to levels of lordship and divinity. However, Ahlul Sunnah, they affirmed the karamat for the righteous in accordance with the book and the Sunnah without lifting any righteous person more than the level he deserves. And concerning the position towards the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, Ahlul Sunnah is also between two extremes. Between those who exceeded the limits and exaggerated in the status of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam until they reached the point of attributing divinity and lordship to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and between the other extreme, the extreme of harshness and rudeness, who did not acknowledge and know the station of honor of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and so they rejected his words and his sunnah and made their lowly desires or their opinions supersede the sunnah, and imitating east and west and going astray on that. Ahlul Sunnah, they loved the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam and venerated him by complying with his commands and abstaining from his prohibitions and believing what he tells without lifting him higher than the level that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala assigned him to. And Ahlul Sunnah, they have no imam greater than the Imam Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is the one whom they take by his command, rejecting none from it. His command is venerated, and his prohibition is venerated, and his what he tells is believed. As to other than the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, certain things may be taken from, others may be relinquished, as Imam Malik rahimahullah mentioned. Each may be taken from his saying and may be abundant, may be abandoned, except the occupant of this grave, meaning the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So any person other than the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasalam, if his saying is in agreement with the saying of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasalam, then it is permissible to take of his words, and if it is the opposite, then we reject it. Also Ahlul Sunnah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected them from making takfir of each other, from imputing kufr on each other. Ahlul Sunnah do not impute kufr on each other, and they do not declare themselves innocent of each other. And this is from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his favor upon them. As to Ahlul Bid'ah, people of innovation, they disassociate themselves from each other and impute kufr on each other, and they curse each other. As to the following the path of the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم and his companions apparently, inwardly and outwardly, Ahlul Sunnah are followers of the Messenger عليه الصلاة والسلام and his companions. They consider this to be deen, to be followed. They consider this as worship. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described them in Surah Al-A'raf, described the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم and the companions in Surah Al-A'raf in chapter 7, 157. الذين يتبعون الرسول النبي الأمي الذي يجدونه مكتوبا عندهم في التوراة والإنجيل يأمرهم بالمعروف وينهاهم عن المنكر ويحل لهم الطيبات ويحرم عليهم الخبائث ويضع عنهم إصرهم والأغلال التي كانت عليهم فالذين آمنوا به وعزروه ونصروه واتبعوا النور الذي أنزل معه أولئك هم المفلحون. Those who follow the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, the Prophet who can neither read nor write, whom they find written with them in the Torah and in the Gospel, he commands them and forbids them all the munkar. وَيُحِلُّ لَهُمُ الطَّيِّبَاتِ, and he allows them all the lawful things. وَيُحَرِّمُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْخَبَائِثِ, and prohibits them all the unlawful. وَيَضَعُ عَنْهُمْ إِصْرَهُمْ, he releases them from their heavy burden and from the fetters, bindings that were upon them. فَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِهِ, so those who believe in him, honor him, help him, and follow the light, the Quran, which has been sent down with him, it is they who will be successful. And also, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah At-Tawbah, chapter 9, verse 100, والسابقون الأولون من المهاجرين والأنصار والذين اتبعوهم بإحسان رضي الله عنهم ورضوا عنه وأعد لهم جنات تجري تحتها الأنهار خالدين فيها أبدا ذلك الفوز العظيم. And the first to embrace Islam of the Muhajireen, those who migrated from Mecca to Medina, and the Ansar, the helpers, and also those who followed them exactly in faith, Allah is well pleased with them as they are well pleased with Him. He has prepared for them gardens under which rivers flow to dwell therein forever. This is the supreme success. So Ahlul Sunnah are followers of the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم and the companions. From the characteristics of Ahlul Sunnah is that they understand the deen comprehensively, believing that it is fit for every time and every place. It covers all codes of life. It is the deen which regulates the relationship between the slave and his Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala, makes it clear to the slave the right of Allah upon him, how to worship Allah, and it is the methodology that regulates the relationship between the slave and his family and his relatives, his neighbors, and the entire mankind. Each right is defined and known, and the duties towards each other. Nothing neglected in this code of life. And it is the code of life that regulates the relationship between the ruler and the ruled. And the foundation for this, and the matters of qada, of ruling and judging, and the policies the internal and the external. It is the code aiming at regulating and organizing the life of people in all walks of life. And it is fitting for every time and every place. From the time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and until the day of resurrection. From the characteristics of Ahl Sunnah is that they enjoin the right and forbid the evil. And then from their characteristics is that they understand the methodology of enjoining the right and forbidding the wrong. Each in accordance with his own ability. And they see that this continues until the day of resurrection. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded us in Surah Al-Imran in 3:104. وَلْتَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ أُمَّةٌ يَدْعُونَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ وَيَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. Let there arise out of you a group of people inviting to all that is good, enjoining the ma'ruf, tawheed, and all that Islam orders one to do, and forbidding the munkar, shirk, and all that Islam has forbidden, and it is they who are the successful. And from the characteristics of Ahl Sunnah is that they conduct the Hajj and the Jihad with the leaders in charge, and they abandon dissent against them. Ahl Sunnah see that the Hajj and the Jihad with the rulers, the good and the wicked, and they don't dissent against them. They obey as long as they are not commanded to do a disobedient act. All in compliance with the command of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Their position towards this is that this is from the deen, not from the modern politics. They remember the hadith of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, the hadith of Ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him and his father, who said, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he who sees from his ruler something he dislikes, let him be patient with him. For he who splits away from the jama'ah, from the general body, by a handspan and then he dies a death of jahiliyyah. A death of jahiliyyah, a death of the pre-Islamic era. And this is reported by Bukhari and by Muslim and others. The hadith in this respect are many, and the characteristics of Ahl Sunnah are also many, and these are just only highlights of their characteristics, and these are matters that every Muslim should know, so that he distinguishes between the truth and falsehood, and therefore he be able to distinguish Ahl Sunnah from the people of Ahwa, and he takes heed and follows them, follows the way of Ahl Sunnah from the Sahaba and the successors. The first three generations, this is the way of salvation. So a person will be considered, inshallah, from Ahl Sunnah if he takes the Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as his most important matter in his creed, affirming to Allah what Allah has affirmed to himself from the names and attributes, and devoting all worship to none but Allah the Most High, outwardly and inwardly. Secondly, he is pure in terms of the following of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam in all of his affairs, taken by his sunnah outwardly and inwardly, and he takes also the path of the early believers from the Sahaba and their followers in goodness. The Prophet ﷺ commanded to take their sunnah and the sunnah of the rightly guided caliphs. And also, he will have a good opinion of the companions. Does not insult anyone of them or mention them in any bad way or have any kind of enmity against anyone of them in his heart. And then he acknowledges and confesses to their merits, especially the four guided caliphs, and does not indulge as to what occurs between them, and have good opinion of all. And he loves the wives of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and his household, and does not indulge in hurting any one of them. And he declares that all the wives of the Prophet ﷺ are free and innocent from any kind of accusation. They are the pure ones, the believing ones, the mothers of the believers, especially Aisha and Khadija. And believe that they are his wives in paradise, the Prophet's wives in paradise. And similarly, he loves the household of the Prophet ﷺ because of their relationship to the Prophet ﷺ, believing at the same time that they are humans. And also, he does not impute kufr because of major sins or sins. And they do not declare any Muslim to be a kafir because of a sin until he or she makes that or considers that permissible or lawful. And they don't take the sinner out of the fold of Iman. And they don't give any assignment to any particular person that he is from paradise or in hell, except those whom the Quran and or the authentic Sunnah had assigned. They, however, are pleased for the good doer, and they hope for him paradise, and they fear for the wrongdoer. At the same time, they do not despair from Allah's mercy to befall on him. And they believe that Iman, faith, increases and decreases. Increases with obedience and decreases with disobedience. And also, they don't rebel and dissent against the rulers, except if they see in them a clear, plain kufr, without any minimal doubt. And they don't rebel even in that case, unless there will be no more fitna or no greater fitna associated with this rebellion, and unless they are able to bring the change. Otherwise, they continue to be patient, and they believe that the change of the ummah comes from within itself, from the changing the status of the believers themselves to betterment, and that from that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings upon them those who rule them justly. Those who consider themselves on this path are inshallah from Ahl Sunnah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes us from them, makes our works sincere and acceptable to him. والحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.